September 28, Daily Readings. 1 Chronicles 11, Ezekiel 24, and Luke 21. First reading. In 1 Chronicles 11 verses 15 to 19, says, 3 of the 30 chiefs came down to David to the rock of the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. So the 3 broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. God forbid that I should do this, he said. Should I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives? Because they risked their lives to bring it back, David would not drink it. There is something peculiarly touching and beautiful in the above scene, whether we contemplate the act of the 3 mighty men in procuring the water for David, or David's act in pouring it out to the Lord. It is evident that David discerned, in an act of such uncommon devotedness, a sacrifice which none but the Lord himself could duly appreciate. The odor of such a sacrifice was far too fragrant for him to interrupt it in its ascent to the throne of the God of Israel. Wherefore he, very properly and very graciously, allows it to pass him by, in order that it might go up to the one who alone was worthy to receive it, or able to appreciate it. All this reminds us, forcibly, of that beautiful compendium of Christian devotedness set forth in Philippians 2 verse 17 and 18. Yea, and if I be poured out upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For this cause ye also joy and rejoice with me. In this passage, the apostle represents the Philippian saints in their character as priests, presenting a sacrifice and performing a priestly ministration to God, and such was the intensity of his self-forgetting devotedness that he could rejoice in his being poured out as a drink offering upon their sacrifice, so that all might ascend in fragrant odor to God. In CHM, cited by Orpink, there is, perhaps, a New Testament echo of this incident. The 3 mighty men of Christ were Peter, James, and John. Like David's mighty men, they desired the kingdom and glory for their master. But the apostles did not really understand that Jesus must first pour out his life. Compare Matthew 16 verses 21 to 23, and Matthew 17 verse 4, and Matthew 19 verse 2, and Matthew 20 verse 20 to 23, before he could drink of a cup of joy in his Father's kingdom. So Jesus, who turned water into wine, blood, at Cana, John 2:8, did in fact pour out the water, or blood, of his own body, on the cross. Like David, he could not drink fully of the joy until he had first experienced the sorrow. See Heb 12 verse 2. Second reading. In Ezekiel 24 verse 18 and 19. Says, So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. The next morning I did as I had been commanded. Then the people asked me, Won't you tell us what these things have to do with us? Ezekiel's wife died. His heart was bleeding, but he received orders from his divine master that he should not mourn, nor weep, nor make any sign of mourning whatever. It was a strange command, but he obeyed it. The people understood that Ezekiel was a prophet to them in all that he did. His actions did not concern himself alone. He was a teacher, not only by his words, but by his acts. So the people gathered round him and said to him, What is the meaning of this? It has some bearing upon our conduct. Tell us what it has to do with us. He soon explained to them that, before long, they also would lose by sword and pestilence and famine, the dearest that they had, and they would not be able to have any mourning for the dead. They would be themselves in such a state of distress that the dead would die unlamented, the living having enough to do to mourn over their own personal sorrows. It was a terrible lesson, and it was terribly taught. Based on C.H. Spurgeon. Third reading. In Luke 21 verse 19. Says, By standing firm you will gain life. In Revelation 2 verse 10. Says, Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. And also, Hebrew 10 verses 36 and 39 says, You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. It is possible to lose self for Christ's sake, and by that very means to gain it. On the other hand, a man may gain great possessions and forfeit himself. See Luke 9 verse 25, Moffat. For encouragement in the trials which would come upon his friends in the days ahead, Jesus promised that in your patience ye shall win your souls. Similarly, in Luke 17 verse 33, the one who shrank back for fear of losing his life was actually losing himself. At the judgment seat of Christ, many will be consigned to the second death because they have avoided suffering and in some cases death in an unwillingness to share the sufferings of Christ. But those of faith who for Christ's sake have lost their lives will gain life and self forevermore. John Carter, Hebrews 2:2.